In a world full of distractions, there is one big question on every dog owner's lips.
How do I become more than just the person holding the other end of the leash?
We all get dogs with a dream in mind, a vision of the future. And if right now your everyday reality isn't quite that picture you had in mind, you are in the right place.
It really doesn't have to be this way.
You absolutely can and will be more to your dog than just the person who gets in between them and the world.
The key is, you need to be more sexy.
More sexy than the neighbourhood cat.
More sexy than the jogger in the park.
More sexy than that half-eaten hamburger they just found on the floor.
And yes, even more sexy than the dog across the road.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Lauren.
Together we're Absolute Dogs.
And you're listening to the Sexier Than a Squirrel podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Sexier Than a Squirrel podcast, the podcast that teaches you how to conquer the environment and stop those distractions.
Now, today we're going to cover a topic that I think I must have been asked a million times over. I've been asked it in sports dog training, in recall training, in real life environment training. Generally being sexy training. This actually is a big problem. And actually, I would almost go as far as saying, for sure in sports dogs and definitely with some owners, it's a pain point. Like it hurts. And
I'll be honest. I think it does impact your sexiness.
Yeah. And like, this is like real life sexiness, like 101.
Yeah. And so what it is, we're going to be talking about the power of play with your dog.
Glad you got to that point. So absolutely, guys, when we think about playing with our dogs, it's got to be about the dog in front of us. And so many people struggle with this concept. So I'm going to give you a really quick example here. I had always had like border collies and sort of herding breeds. Mm-hmm. And when I first got my working cockers, I was like, wow, this is different. Like, I was like, tug this, and Blink would be like, ooh, I don't want that. And I'd be like, what about this? Almost like trying to dental floss her. And she'd be like, no, not sexy.
Not a sexy.
And the funniest thing was that she said basically no. Like, she told me no, it was not fun. Like, it was not what she wanted to do. And I was quite horrified by this as a dog trainer, because I'd always had the schooling that your dog must tug with you and your dog must play in this way. And if your dog doesn't play in this way, then they are not going to be a great dog.
Yeah. And the reality is that actually, you know, if we think about play as fun, well, play is whatever is fun to your dog. And what we often see is that owners decide what play must look like, whether that is because they're, you know, following a certain trainer, or they're following a certain discipline, or their previous dog did it this way.
Or because a book tells them to, right? Like, I was reading a book only the other day. The book's 9 months old and written by a really well-respected dog trainer. I know, I was shocked at the fact it said force your dog to tug.
Yeah.
Like, literally, basically create an environment where they do nothing else but have the opportunity to tug. And I was really quite horrified by that, because up until that point, I'd really liked the way that trainer was training. And I was like, oh my gosh, really? Like, we're so far beyond that now. Like, so many options.
If we impose, I don't know if you've ever had this, that somebody's idea of fun, they tried to impose on you. And what
did
you do?
We had it earlier, Tom. We had it with an Uno card game, if you remember.
Eliza tried to impose an Uno card game on us. And it created
a personality mix for this, and I've had this a lot lately with the Uno card game. You got put in it today.
I did. And the thing is, it does create a bit of a visceral response where it's now punishing to have this imposed on you. And so what we've got to be aware of is that we've got to be careful that we don't do that with our dogs, and we don't impose our idea of fun on them and then tell them that it must be rewarding and then try and use it as a reward. And the reason why that is because if we think about play and the value of play, well, play teaches so many skills, so many concepts, so many life lessons that are going to be useful for our dogs throughout life. But even more importantly than that, it's an opportunity for us to reward our dogs in a new way. And if your dog does a recall and then you impose your idea of fun on them and they find it punishing, are they going to do it more? Are they going to do it less? They're going to do it less, right? They're going to come back less. And you're going to be even more confused. Like, why now is my dog not coming back to me? I have rewarded them. But the fact is, a dog decides what is rewarding and punishing. We can inspire it, but it's ultimately, by definition, do they find that rewarding or do they find that punishing is a subjective experience for them.
Now, interestingly, let's think about the problems if our dogs don't play. Like, let's think about what that does for us. So if our dogs don't play with us, actually, for me, it can be a draw from the relationship.
Yeah.
So actually, when I play with dogs, Blink or, I don't know, Easy, I can really get that relationship to a whole new level that I can't necessarily easily unlock with food. I can unlock it. It takes a lot more effort. So for me, you unlock whole new levels of relationship. So one of the pain points is you might not get to that level of the relationship. Another one is in sports dog training, play is so powerful. You can, it's so useful. You can reward at a distance so much easier. It gives you huge flexibility in your sports dog training. So if you're thinking sports dog training, it's massive. If you're thinking like unlocking a new layer of reinforcement opportunities, play again gives you massive options in what you're doing. So painful for some owners that don't get it, right?
And I'm going to go back to
fun.
Being sexier than a squirrel, right? Think about all of the games and play that squirrel does, how they move their tail, how they move around, how they dash from side to side. And the value there is variety. The value there is that squirrel interacts with your dog in a different way each time. And the cool thing is that the squirrel's there and says basically, you know, take me and use me how you want, and your dog.
Please take that in the correct context.
Yeah. So yeah. Sorry, guys. And your dog actually then does what is rewarding to them in that experience with that squirrel. And how cool would it be if we can actually step into that? We can provide that variety. We can work with what is naturally rewarding with our dogs. We can be the squirrel.
And let's go back to the fact that it's fun. Like, you know what? I love playing retrieve. I love playing gun dog games. I absolutely love doing all of the sort of distance work.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the new sort of levels that play unlocks. And ultimately, I think there's that great saying that those that play together stay together, and that play kind of keeps us young. I mean, Einstein and like so many different people have kind of alluded to how it's important, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's that saying, and I must apologize because I don't know who said it, but you'll be able to find it and find who the original person who said it was. And that is that play is like the greatest form of experimentation.
Highest form of learning.
Yeah. And the cool thing is that quote almost sums up how we approach play with our dogs, in that we experiment with different ways of moving and working with them.
And we stay curious. Like, we stay curious with it, right?
Yeah, and we notice what they're doing. And the cool thing is that all of your dog's bad, the kind of stuff and the stuff that your dog does that you label as bad behavior, that, my friends, is leaving clues. Because if your dog likes to chase the squirrel, or your dog likes to, you know, grab things and rip things up, or your dog likes to dig or whatever it might be, well, that's them telling you and kind of hitting you in the face with, hey, I find this rewarding. I find this kind of interaction and this behavior rewarding. How cool would it be if we could harness that?
Now, the cool thing is with play is we talk about pressure-free play, and yet, I don't know, Blink is, she's been with me six, seven years now. Mm-hmm. And Blink, for those of you that don't know her, she's a working Cocker Spaniel. I rehomed her at almost a year old. She was an unneeded gun dog, so she didn't really fit the purpose of a gun dog. And she came to me as a rehome dog, effectively. And for me, I thought I was doing pressure-free play with her. Mm-hmm. And yet, when I think back to it, there was a lot of pressure in it, and it was like a pressure cooker. I was like, play, 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 play. And if I hadn't changed my approach to her, and if I hadn't stayed curious to what options were available to me, and if I hadn't stayed looking and experimenting for something better, actually, I think I'd have lost the dog in front of me. And those of you who don't know Blink, Blink is, she's been to the World Championships multi times. She's been top four in the world. She has been Olympia. She's been, she's multi-time winner at Crufts, biggest dog show. If you haven't ever been to the UK dog show, it's huge, absolutely massive event. And she's a really, 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 really special little dog in terms of her drive, her energy, her want to please. And yet I think I'd have missed all of that if I hadn't changed my approach to play. For example, I can play with food, right? Like, that was something that was a whole new element to me. I can use tennis balls in training, because those are something that she's really passionate about. And in sports, I'd always been told, like, play with tug. And you know what? What we're challenging you to do here is, I suppose, question the norm.
Yeah.
Question what the world tells you is the thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And look at it as, like, your dog's giving you information. your dog's showing you what they find rewarding. How can we create a similar experience? For example, your dog maybe likes to chase squirrels right now. Maybe, you know, the squirrel's sexiness trumps yours. That's totally fine. Let's see that swishing tail as an opportunity to animate our dog's food in that way, animate their toys in that way. Consider how we even animate ourselves in the way that we interact with our dogs. Because I think one of the, if I was only allowed to like give three pieces of advice to a new dog owner, one of them that would make the top three would absolutely be that the reward and working with a dog is not about the object you use. It's not about how tasty the food is or how great the toy looks or how colorful the toy looks. It's about the experience that we create with that object in such a way that our dogs find it incredibly rewarding, and that reward experience is filled with passion and energy. And if you've got that, you effectively have that secret instruction manual of your dog to go through life as a team with them.
So I'm thinking here a couple of other things that can easily go wrong with owners and dogs. And one of them is conflict in play, right? Like, conflict in play is an issue. So let me give you a couple of examples of conflict that I've had in play over the past few years. Classic, for example, one of the conflicts we have was that she didn't really naturally want to retrieve or tug, right? So Tuggy I could keep in my hands, and the retrieve, she would run around, and I just couldn't get her back. And another conflict I might give you with Blink is, she would never take a toy from our hands. So I found it hard to reward her when she was close. Mm-hmm. Like those things, if you press hard into a conflict and you go head to head with a dog in a conflict, guess what? Mm-hmm. It ain't fun. No. And if it's not punishing. Fun, it's not play, right? Yeah. So I know someone said to me the other day, I'm working really, really hard on my play. I'm literally diligently doing it. I do it 5 times a day. I work hard on my play. And I said, well, that sounds fun. Mm-hmm. And they looked at me like, oh, like the penny dropped. Mm. Like, it's got to be fun. Yeah. And if it's not fun, you're probably doing it wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? And the interesting thing is that effectively, play has almost a sequence or chain of events to think about. And that might be, you know, see the toy or the object. Then it might be, you know, run towards the toy or the object. Then it might be pick up the toy or the object. Then it might be carry the toy or the object. Some dogs, they might have a tug in them.
Could be shake the toy and object. Could be shake and bite and kill.
And pluck
and
the
dissect.
Toy. Right? And the thing is that
And you'll all have seen the dog that pulls out the innards
exactly,
of the teddy bear, right?
Exactly. And the thing is, guys, that every dog will have certain steps of this chain of interaction that are more rewarding than others. And that might not fit what you would find rewarding. Like, for example, I remember when Lava was a puppy, I found it so weird that the most rewarding bit of that play experience, the most rewarding bit for her was to carry it. And I'm like, if I was a dog, I would not want to carry an object
something
around
in my mouth
and find that rewarding. But actually, that's like you love them for the fact that they are unique and that every dog is different.
And gun dogs, right? Like, she's a gun dog. And if you think about it logically, like, that makes complete sense. It makes sense. Come on, Tom, a sensey dance.
It makes sense. And that's the thing in training academy. Whenever something makes sense, we do a bit of a sensey dance. And if you're driving, don't do it. But effectively, it's fun to celebrate that things make sense, right? So what we're doing, guys, is we're pointing out that probably one of the things that probably your dog does play, and often people will say to us, my dog doesn't play, and we say, well, why do you want to play? And they'll say, oh, well, you know, it'd be really great if they would play, because often they chase other dogs and don't come back to me, I'd like to inspire play to teach them to come back to me. And we're like, well, your dog does play, just right now the experiences you are providing are not the experiences that they want, because they're going and getting them elsewhere. And so if we see that as information rather than a problem, and then separately experiment and notice and observe and learn to see what they do as information that we can grow, that's when you grow play. And it might not look like what you're anticipating.
And the other thing I would say that I see so, so frequently is people that apply way too many rules in play way too soon. So particularly with puppies or young dogs, when you're just trying to inspire play and you're just trying to get the dog like a real spark and a bit of fun and a bit of energy, and suddenly the dog's got to bring it back, and then it's got to let it go on cue, and then it's got to get it again on cue, and then it's got to retrieve it again and again and again, and then it's got to retrieve 10 different objects by name.
Yeah.
And then after that, you're going to try an egg or whatever else it might be.
I was one of those kids, so I understand this well, that, you know, it'd be like Christmas and we'd be doing like a Christmas game, and it would be some...
Not Uno.
It would be some game where it'd be like a board game, and there'd be like an instruction manual of rules. And I would immediately be like, board game or wrestling, let's do wrestling. And I think that's the key with our dogs, that we often think that, you know, rules are gonna be attractive. No, they're not. They are not any fun. And so what we do is, when we approach play, we treat it like this, that we create chaos and then we organize it, right?
Because so
we
when you've create got chaos, you can work with it,
you
right?
You can organize it, you can put it in the boxes and shape it and grow it however you want.
We've all heard that saying that the dog's got no drive. Now, I absolutely do not believe that. I believe is that way too many rules have been applied way too soon and potentially not the right ones.
Yeah.
And actually what we end up with is a dog who really has lost the joy, right? Yeah. Like it doesn't have the joy anymore.
Create the chaos, create the passion, then organize it. Yeah. And I, you know, we're even reluctant to say rules once we've created the passion and the chaos. We instead like to think about it. Let's organize it. Let's structure it. Let's grow it a little bit more in a direction that we want it to grow now that we have built this desire that
and
is there.
100%. The biggest thing is work with what's in front of you. So we're just going to round up, guys, by giving you a few really quick top tips on play, things that you might want to do, things that you might want to have a go at. And things that you can really practically take away. So I'm going to start and I'm going to say, because we like doing the table tennis tips or the podcast tips, I'm going to say that actually it's a fun time, not a long time. So keep it short, like keep it short, keep it fun. It doesn't need to be a long time. And so many people will play for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 minutes. When I first started, I thought that was okay too. I really do not. I play 20 seconds, 30 seconds max. Mm-hmm. Like it does not need to be, and sometimes 2 seconds, mm-hmm. right? It's a like karate chop move, like whatever it is, like make it fun.
Next up for me would be, it's a controversial one, but actually don't force yourself to end on a high. So if you're playing with your dog and they're losing engagement, they're getting tired, maybe you kind of pitched it in a certain direction thinking they'd like it and actually they don't like it, don't keep pushing to try and make them like it, right? That's effectively like me force feeding you a cake that you don't like. Instead, cut your losses, call it a day, pick it up tomorrow and take it as information.
I met a brilliant day. This is my next tip. A brilliant lady, rather. God, it's so warm. I can't even think now. I met a brilliant lady and she was telling me that her dog didn't like the Whippet game and she was so inspired by Absolute Dogs and she wanted to be part of the training academy and she was hoping one day to be a pro dog trainer and yet she was really disappointed her dog didn't like the whip. Remember, all of the games that we play can translate into another game if you're creative. And what we say all the time is we are the game changers. Like Tom and I, for sure, we will like be master of games. We'll try and tweak and play and grow and reshape games all the time. And yet you can do that too. We give you permission to learn it with your own dog. And when I said that to her, because she had a dog who was quite scared of the whip, and what I said to her is, you can change it. You can use something else. So how about like a tennis ball or a chasey tug or a piece of food that you can flick? And she went, oh! And it was like the penny dropped, the light bulb moment. She was so excited by that. So I suppose you have permission to adapt the game. And there are absolutely no no's. Like, don't try and fit a square peg into a round hole.
Yeah.
Play, it, literally play for play's sake.
It's... Okay, next tip. Sorry, I was a bit keen.
He's going to go.
Next tip would be, it's about the experience, not the object. And that's whether we're talking, you know, drive for food or we're talking drive for play. And often people will think that the reason why our dogs are so animated for food and so engaged for food and love playing the food games, it's because they're hungry. Absolutely not. In fact, it's about that experience. And so, interestingly, this is a bit of a tangent, but still interesting all the same. My hairdresser's dog, this is really random, my hairdresser's dog, border terrier, she was adamant that her dog just wasn't a foodie dog, and in fact she was struggling to get her dog to eat and the dog was losing weight. And I said, okay, you know what, I'm going to accept this challenge. I'm quite excited about this challenge, so let's see if we can, you know, get her eating the amount that she needs to eat in a day, and so that she reaches her ideal body condition. There were massive health benefits to this and so on, and what we did is we worked on animating the food and exploring how that dog wanted that food animating. And I'll be honest, my hairdresser was going to the McDonald's drive-thru to
so
get
funny.
Yeah, to get McDonald's hamburgers, because that is all her lovely Border Terrier would eat. And within a few sessions, this Border Terrier was engaged, animated, and keen for, wait for it, drum roll, kibble. Not McDonald's kibble, not McDonald's hamburgers. It was kibble, right?
McDonald's to kibble.
And it's all about the experience. It's all about, it's not about that object or the taste of the object or how fluffy the toy is or what color you're going to buy your next toy. And your dog might not like that one because it might not give them the experience they want.
Now, Tom and I could go on all day about play. In fact, we do in the training academy all the time. We're always coming up with new games, new things that we like to do. And I'm sure you see lots on the Facebook page too. What we really want you to do is go away and experiment. We want to give you permission to be curious. We want to give you permission to have a play. And we want you to, I suppose, have permission to stay young, stay fun, stay playing together, because I think that's what keeps relationships in a really good place, right? Yeah. Like, I think it's a good thing. And I think that one of the things that dogs do brilliantly is they help us to stay present. And you watch any dog, they live for the present. They live in the moment. That for me is play, and that for me is play personified. Like, you watch it, it's just beautiful. Yeah. So what I want you to all do, we're going to give you a homework, and that really is to permission to have a go, to let your hair down.
Create chaos.
Yeah, just have a ball, have a party, and enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely. So, guys, that was this episode of the Sexier Than a Squirrel podcast. If you have not already subscribed to the podcast, what on earth are you doing? You need to subscribe, whether it's on iTunes, Spotify, you know, whatever other ones are out there. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Also, please, please, please leave a review to the podcast, because the more reviews that are left for the podcast, the more new dog owners get exposed to this. And you know, we often chat about this. How cool would it be if we knew everything that we know now when we very first got a dog? Or how many dogs and owners relationships would that actually save if every dog and owner knew about this in the world?
I just wish that I had found things like this 15, 20 years ago. And yet there are people today that are still using punishment, force-based training, and they would absolutely, I know, be enlightened to hear this. So if you've got a friend you might share it with, if you want to share it to your own Facebook page, maybe you want to share it to your training group, like, share it, show it.
There's demand for this. The world is ready for this. You know, 1 to 5 million people a week jump onto that Absolute Dogs Facebook page and watch the videos, explore the learning. And you think about it, that's 1 to 5 million dog owners that actually are finding the answers that they deserve,
and
unlocking,
having a lot more fun, right? Like, they're having more
the relationship that they deserve. So with that, guys, please, please, please leave a review, subscribe to the podcast. We will see you next week in the Sexier Than a Squirrel podcast, and remember, stay sexy. Hey, before you go, have you taken part in the worldwide Sexier Than a Squirrel Challenge?
It's a 25-day online video program. Huge energy, amazing community, and over 6,000 people are already taking part.
The only question is, you know where you are today, where do you want to be 25 days from now? Head to absolutedogs.me/sexy.